Welcome to today's session. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. We continue today in my verse-by-verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. We are still in Luke chapter 7. Please listen to the previous session so you can approach this in context. And if you are new to this Bible teaching, welcome. You are about to be blessed. Glory to God. So we are going to pick up here in Luke chapter 7. We pick up in verse 18. And I highly recommend you listen to the entire session, okay? So you can get the best from this today. There is a lot that the Lord is willing to bless us with, but we have to be willing to listen. So welcome. So what is the gist of these upcoming verses? Beginning here in Luke 7, verse 18, we are going to learn how John the Baptist, a man who was filled with God the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, began to doubt the identity of Jesus as the Messiah. Friend, doubting God's word is something that any of us can deal with. If John the Baptist, filled with God the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb and had the revelation of the Messiah and even baptized the Messiah, acknowledged him, would later on have some doubts, friend, no one is immune from doubting, because we live in a fallen world. We have an enemy, the world, our own past, the environment. The key here is not that we won't encounter doubting thoughts. The key is, what do you do with the doubting thoughts that are coming at you? So we are going to learn this here, and friend, I have an entire series on overcoming doubt right here in this Podbean channel. So after today's session, I highly recommend you go into our homepage right here on Podbean, and you can do a search, overcoming doubt. The series would come up. I believe it's about a 6 to 8 part series on dealing with doubt, recognizing doubt, and overcoming doubt. It will truly bless you, because doubting God's word, doubting God's promises is something that all of us have to deal with in this fallen world, because we are finite beings. So we have to be chronically ready to overcome doubt so we can position ourselves to receive the best God has for us. Okay, let's get into this. Luke chapter 7, verse 18. John's disciples told him about all these things, referring to the teachings of the Lord Jesus, his miracles, etc. Calling two of them, he, referring to John the Baptist, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" So we see how John the Baptist's disciples had told him about this prophet, this preacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, performing all these miracles and teaching the word of God, etc. And John the Baptist is like, is this really the Messiah? And mind you, at this point in John the Baptist's ministry, he was already imprisoned. And so just imagine a man who had the fire in his belly to preach the kingdom of God, locked up in a jail, all alone, unable to preach. I bet you Satan was playing with his thoughts. So when he heard all this, he's like, let me just double check. And you know, right away, something is coming to mind. John the Baptist did the right thing, because when you're dealing with all the doubts, the best thing you can do is to get into God's word to say, let me verify if my thinking processes is in alignment with the word of God. Obviously, Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, was the living word of God, because he is and was the incarnate word of God. So John the Baptist sent his disciples to the word of God to get the answer. That is the first way you deal with doubt. You go to the truth, i.e. the word of God, and Double check if your thinking or your thought pattern is in alignment with God. If whatever you are thinking is not consistent with the word of God, you just tell yourself that, you know what, I'm going to just quit thinking this way because it is not of God, okay? So right away, we are learning from John the Baptist that he is taking the correct steps to deal with his doubt. And we will find out how the Lord Jesus would respond to this. And keep in mind, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus were cousins, first cousins, in fact. So they had a close relationship. So for John the Baptist to be doubting, boy, he was really in a tough position in his life. Okay, so we move on here. So he, John the Baptist, had sent his disciples. So let's pick it up here in verse 20. When the men came to Jesus, they asked, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Verse 21, at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. Let me pause. Why do you think the Lord Jesus is doing this? This is amazing. John the Baptist's disciples asked Jesus this question. Jesus did not respond. Rather, he just went on to perform a task list of miracles. So John the Baptist's disciples could see that and go and remind John the Baptist. Let me explain to you what is going on. The Lord Jesus wasn't going to assuage John the Baptist's doubt. He wasn't going to say something like, oh, poor John, oh, it is me. No, he responded by demonstrating evidence of what had been prophesied in the Old Testament that the Messiah would do. And specifically, I can give you some verses here, Isaiah 29:18 and Isaiah 35 verses 5 through 6 had been prophesied, along with many other scriptures in the Old Testament, that the Messiah would give sight to the blind and heal the lame, etc. So rather than the Lord Jesus responding verbally to John the Baptist's disciples, he just demonstrated. Oh, come on, somebody. He just demonstrated the miracles that had been prophesied that the Messiah would fulfill, i.e. the Lord Jesus showed John the Baptist's disciples evidence of who he was as the Messiah. He pointed them to the evidence. Just like when we are having doubtful thoughts, we have to go to the evidence. The truth with a capital T, the word of God. So that is exactly what the Lord Jesus did. I know today when we are dealing with issues and doubting thoughts, many people want somebody else to just give them a tap in the back and to show sympathy and encouragement. But that is not what the Lord Jesus did here. He pointed the disciples to the evidence, friend. All this emotional encouragement, oh, it's okay, oh, just take your time. You know what? That is not going to take you far. Truth, the word of God, is what you need to overcome doubts and to overcome lies. When you are caught up in this mindset of tempting to doubt the word of God, get the truth and meditate on the truth and overcome. So we are learning this right away from the Lord Jesus. Boy, so relevant for us today. Okay, so we are now in verse 22. So he replied to the messengers. So the Lord Jesus, after he had performed all these tasks or miracles of the Messiah, he told John the Baptist's disciples. He said, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus pointed John the Baptist to the evidence, because the Lord Jesus knew that John the Baptist knew the truth. He was just dealing with some crisis in his life. So the Lord Jesus just gently redirected John the Baptist back to the truth. And as far as we know, we don't know John the Baptist's response after the messengers went and relayed this to him. As far as the scriptures teach us, John the Baptist received that. And even at the time he was beheaded, he died peacefully. So again, it is my personal belief, even though the scriptures don't teach us, that when John the Baptist received this response from his messengers, he had some peace and consolation that his ministry had indeed come to an end. It could be that that was why John the Baptist actually was even doubting that, is this the Messiah or is it somebody else? Has my ministry truthfully come to the end? And the Lord Jesus provided him with evidence. Again, I believe John the Baptist came to a point of acceptance that indeed the Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ, his cousins. Okay, so friend, as I mentioned, the best way to overcome doubt is evidence, which is the truth out of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today as we study God's Word. Friend, as this ministry is blessing you, I want to speak to your heart. Would you consider blessing us back with a one-time donation or become a Christ-centered partner? As a Christ-centered partner, you join hands with us and with the Lord in the middle, and you pray for us on a regular basis. We pray for you on a regular basis, and then you bless us financially with whatever amount the Lord puts in your heart. And the primary way we will use your financial donation is to pay for studio time so we can produce more Bible teachings like this and to reach more people. This is God's will for you, for myself, and for the body of Christ, that we give into his work so we can reach many more people. And God is so faithful. He has told us throughout his word that he will bless us back abundantly, exceedingly, as we give right back into his work. One scripture you can stand on is Luke 6:38. God will bless you back as you give into this fruitful ministry so we can pay for studio time to produce more shows and reach more people. I also want to leave you with this scripture just to strengthen you to know that when you give into God's work, God takes it seriously. Deuteronomy 15:10 teaches, give generously, okay, to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. That is a promise that when you give into God's work, God will take it seriously and he blesses you back abundantly. So friend, as you have been blessed by these teachings, we thank you in advance for blessing us back. So here are some ways you can donate into this ministry anywhere in the world. All you need is internet access. Here is our safe and very secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, it is drruthtanyi.org/donate. You can make a donation right there, whatever the Lord puts in your heart. We receive it and we say thank you. If you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here is the telephone number. It's 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. We also receive donations through Cash App. The address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Again, the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. That is for Cash App. And we thank you abundantly for investing into this fruitful ministry, and together we are advancing God's work and transforming lives. So we thank you for your donation, and God will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. Here is the teaching. So we move on here. The Lord Jesus had sent that message to John the Baptist's disciples, and now in the upcoming verses, he is going to speak highly of John the Baptist. We pick it up here in verse 24. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? The Lord Jesus is like, What did you go into the wilderness to see? You know, because John the Baptist essentially spent most of his time in the wilderness and obviously was baptizing people in the Jordan River. So the Lord Jesus is like, John the Baptist was in the wilderness preaching. What did you go to see? He continued, a reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? This is kind of like ironical. The Lord Jesus is like, did you go to the wilderness to see some flowers, some reed? Is that really why you went out there? And the Lord Jesus continued, a man dressed in fine cloths? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palace. So true. The Lord Jesus is like, no, you didn't go there because of John the Baptist's expensive clothing. You didn't go to the wilderness because of John the Baptist's lavish lifestyle, because those who indulge or those who wear these expensive, lavish lifestyles are found in palaces. The Lord Jesus is going somewhere with this now. He continued now in verse 26, but what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. Exactly. The Lord Jesus is like, you didn't go to the wilderness to go look at some man dressed in expensive clothing or to look at some trees or flowers. No, you went to the wilderness because you went to listen to the prophetic words of John the Baptist. Indeed, he was a prophet of high caliber. That is essentially what the Lord Jesus is saying in a very ironical way. And then in verse 27, he said, this is the one about whom it is written. So the Lord Jesus is now going to authenticate John the Baptist's ministry. Okay, he said, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. So the Lord Jesus was like, oh no, you went to the wilderness to listen to John the Baptist because he was a unique God-ordained prophet who prepared the way for the Messiah. And that scripture, I have said this over and over about John the Baptist's ministry being called to prepare the way for the Messiah, is out of Isaiah 40 verse 3. So after the Lord Jesus had cited Isaiah 40 verse 3, he would go on to speak very highly of John the Baptist. I just find it interesting how the Lord Jesus did not speak highly of John the Baptist in front of his disciples or messengers who came with the question. Rather, he spoke highly of John the Baptist after he had demonstrated works of the Messiah. You know why that is? Because the Lord Jesus did not again want to meet John at the point of his emotional need. He wanted to meet John at the point of absolute truth of his identity as the Messiah. Hence, he performed all those miracles. Friend, there are times when we get so emotional, we just want God to meet us at our emotional need, but God would want to meet us at a higher level of truth, his truth, okay? So we are learning that here. Okay, so let us find out what the Lord Jesus would say about John the Baptist. We are now in verse 28. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Let me explain what the Lord Jesus is saying. So what the Lord is saying, among those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. In essence, the Lord is saying that John the Baptist is a greater prophet compared to all of the Old Testament prophets. I mean, men, Jonah, more than Samuel, Elijah, on and on it goes. He said John the Baptist has a unique place in the kingdom of God, highly exalted, highly honored above all Old Testament prophets who performed the miracles, as I mentioned, Elijah, etc. But the Lord Jesus went on to make this comment that yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So what does this mean? This means that even though John the Baptist is considered the highest prophet among all the Old Testament prophets. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because John the Baptist, although he was filled with God the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, he had a specific preordained task. He did not live long enough to see the fulfillment of the kingdom of God in the ministry of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist died before he witnessed the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So anyone who is the least in the kingdom of God, as in right now, as in me and you, because we are experiencing the fullness of the kingdom of God, we have the triune God indwelling in us, we have the blessed privilege to have a better and a deeper revelation of the ministry of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, we are greater than John the Baptist because we have the kingdom of God by faith living on the inside of us. We have that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We have Jesus Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit who is readily available to reveal the ministry of Jesus Christ to its fullness to us as we open our hearts to receive it. So those of us today in the 21st century, we are greater in that regard than John the Baptist, again, because John the Baptist did not live long enough to experience the fullness of the kingdom of God, because he didn't see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He did not experience that. He had been killed. But us today, we have that reality indwelling in our hearts by faith. Did you get that? So we actually are in a better covenant with God. We are in a better relationship with God because of Jesus Christ, way more than John the Baptist experienced. Okay, so we are really blessed. Verse 29. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. Exactly. Even the tax collectors, who were considered chief sinners, sinners above all sinners, when they heard the words of Jesus Christ pronouncing such high remarks about John the Baptist, they came in agreement with Jesus. They agreed that John the Baptist was a man of God. They acknowledged his ministry. They acknowledged the work that God was doing in John the Baptist's ministry. Moving on here in verse 30, but the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purposes for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. So the very opposite here, in verse 30, the tax collectors recognized John the Baptist's ministry and were baptized by him, but now the Pharisees and experts or teachers of the law rejected John the Baptist's ministry. They rejected God's ways and callings for their lives because they would not repent, okay, during the ministry of John the Baptist. So that is what that is saying. We move on here to verse 31. Jesus went on to say, to what then can I compare the people of this generation? I like it how the Lord Jesus had just said that the Pharisees and experts of the law, meaning experts of the law of Moses, rejected God's will for them because they would not repent. So the Lord Jesus is about to now talk about their generation. And keep in mind, a generation is about 30 to 33 years, okay? So the Lord Jesus is going to talk about how that generation had rejected John the Baptist and also rejected him. So let's go over these verses here. I will just go back and repeat the end there of verse 31. To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? Verse 32. They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other. We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry. Verse 33. For John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus is talking about how John the Baptist came, lived a righteous life, yet they rejected him. Verse 34, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. Essentially, the Lord Jesus is talking about how the Pharisees and teachers of the law rejected John the Baptist. They rejected him as well. John the Baptist, a righteous, holy man, they rejected him. Him, the Messiah, they rejected him because they are depending on their own wisdom. The Pharisees and teachers of the law had justified why they had to reject John the Baptist. And the Lord Jesus' ministry, they are essentially hanging on to false wisdom about who they are. Okay, so that is what the Lord Jesus is saying here. And I'm going to end this session here. Then in the next session, I will pick it up in verse 36. So what have we learned about these verses here? The main principle and application, the key principle here is doubting God's word. As I mentioned earlier, none of us is immune from doubting because we are finite beings. But we can train ourselves to recognize doubting thoughts that may come at us from the environment, from our past, from others, from Satan. We can recognize those doubting thoughts and cast down each doubtful imagination and choose to stand on the truth, the word of God, to overcome the doubts. Because when you're having all these doubting thoughts, you cannot just ignore them. You have to do something about them. So your choices are pretty much simple. You either accept them and you suffer the consequences, because when you doubt God's promises, you just won't receive. Okay, we are told this in the book of James, a double-minded person shall receive nothing from the Lord. So when you are doubting, you put yourself in a very compromising position where you prevent the blessings and manifestation of God to be evident in your own life. But there is a solution to this. The truth, just like the Lord Jesus pointed John the Baptist to the evidence, the truth. Likewise, when we are having these doubting thoughts, we have to go to the truth, the inspired, infallible, perfect word of God, and look at the promises of God, compare that with our doubting. And if whatever we are thinking is not in alignment with the word of God, we have to reject our doubtful thoughts and choose to stand on God's truth and be patient. The only way to overcome doubt is with the truth. You need truth to overcome doubt. So whatever you're doubting God for today, get into his word. Look for a promise and stand on that promise and just give it time. Because as you stand on godly truth, the doubting emotion will leave. That is absolutely how you deal with that. And as I mentioned earlier, I have an entire, I think, 6 to 8 part series on overcoming doubt right here on this Podbean channel. So go to the homepage and enter search. Just type overcoming doubt and the entire series will pop up and you just listen to that. Because if there is one thing that will prevent you from receiving God's best, is doubting him. So you want to deal with doubt quickly. Don't let doubt fester in your soul. Because the enemy, that's all Satan needs, to just deceive you. The more you doubt, the more Satan is going to allow your mind to conjure up all kinds of imagination. So you got to just stop that. Okay, by standing on the word of God, which is truth, and give it time. I hope you receive this in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you for all the listeners. I thank you, Father God, that your word is truth. I thank you that for all those who are listening to me right now, who are dealing with doubts or who will deal with doubting thoughts in the future, you have given us the remedy, the truth in the word of God. Holy God, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word, which is absolutely truth, authoritative, and our only source of truth in this dark world. We thank you for your good and faithful God. Father God, I just release your blessings over every listener today. I just pray that you guide and direct them through their day. I just pray that you meet them at their unique place of need. You comfort them with your peace and joy. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for protecting us, for guiding us. And we thank you for your word and for all that we have learned today. We thank you that you are going to take this message today and speak to each of our hearts and give us revelation how to put it into practice and overcome. For you are a good and faithful God. We thank you for doing these things. I have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, Amen. God loves you.
So as you proceed with your day today, remember that God is with you always, enabling you to overcome in Jesus' name. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed and bye for now.